This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, we make home service easy. We guarantee same-day service and installation with no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays. Family-owned for 53 years, Four Seasons has over 30,000 five-star Google reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. For all your plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical needs, for all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Where will the Browns go at two? Will there be a trade down? Will there be a should drop? I'm about to ask our next guest here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline of A to Z Sports, the great Ryan Roberts. What's up, Ryan? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
I mean, I just housed some wings, and it's like 70 and sunny here in Cleveland. I couldn't possibly be doing any better.
I love to hear it, man. One of my buddies is a Browns fan, and he said that it was a bright, nice, shiny day, and Travis Hunter's on the horizon, apparently, right? So it sounds like it's a pretty good day in Cleveland right now.
All right, so you mentioned Travis Hunter there. If the three options yep. are Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, or a trade down, how would you rank those three options for the Browns today at two?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Browns are a team that right now I think they need to add elite options, obviously, on the roster. It was a roster 2 years ago that we saw in the playoffs, but I really think that injury obviously had a huge factor in just kind of on the downtrot and the reason that they're picking number two. But I'm a big fan of picking elite prospects in this class because there's not a ton of them, right? Like, it's a really kind of shallow class up top. So for me, it would go Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, then trade back in that order. I personally do have Abdul as my number one player, but I understand why Cleveland wants Travis, ultimately, because you were the 32nd ranked offense in the NFL last year. You have a massive need at wide receiver outside of Jerry Jeudy, so I definitely understand the ideology. And also, at some point, I'm sure Travis will be getting some reps on the defensive side of the football also. So he kind of helps in a couple different areas. Fully understand it. I personally love the idea of putting Abdul Carter with Myles Garrett. Like, that is, for me, just thinking about like an opposing quarterback, that is a scary, scary sight. So I prefer Abdul slightly, but I fully accept Travis Hunter at the pick number two because I do think it fits a huge need on the roster, obviously.
Ryan, we had two guests this week, Dan Orlovsky and Cynthia Freeland, both say Hall of Fame with attached to Travis Hunter. So I feel like, has the conversation, have we just gone overboard maybe in the past 72 hours? Or does he really live up to those type of expectations in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, Hall of Fame is so tough because obviously like a lot of situation is important, fit is important, longevity. I mean, like, I can't predict how long Travis Hunter's going to be in the NFL, right? Like, I mean, after the first few years, it looked like Todd Gurley was probably going to be a Hall of Famer, and then ultimately, you play a violent game and things happen. So I don't like personally going that far, but I will say he's the rarest football player I've ever seen, in the sense of I've never scouted a player that could legitimately play two different positions, one on each side of the ball, and play on and be a top 10 NFL draft pick at either, right? So he's an elite talent. He's a rare player, and we have honestly never seen a player like him. Like, we've seen players that are phenomenal in one sport and really good in another. We've seen players that can play on both sides of the ball, like a Champ Bailey probably could have been a wide receiver if he wanted to. A Deion Sanders could have done the same thing to a degree as well. But we've never seen a guy that legitimately could be a 1,000-yard receiver on offense and maybe the best corner in the NFL on the other. So he is rare as can be, one of the rarest athletes of all time. The Hall of Fame conversation is going to be dependent on so many different factors, though.
Ryan, one of the few things that vexes me about the Travis Hunter conversation is this idea that he is a safe pick. Given you could choose the wrong side of the ball, there are other things that go on here. I'm just curious, though. Where are the potential landmines with Travis Hunter that we have to kind of think about?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a wide receiver, if we're playing him like mostly at wide receiver, like exclusive, which it, when Cleveland drafts him, I imagine the ideology would be wide receiver first, then we'll figure out the defensive snaps afterwards if that's something we want to explore. And he is not a perfect wide receiver prospect by any stretch. I mean, I think he's going to be a very good player on both sides of the ball, whatever one he wants to do more of. But he's not the most precise route runner of all time right now, because at Colorado, you have to think about it this way. Like, in practice weeks, he's probably splitting reps between two different spots all the time. It's not like he's focusing on one part of his craft and just being solely that is what he's doing. And so at wide receiver, I think that his route running is still a work in progress. I think he wins a lot more off of athleticism than nuance and technical prowess. So if there was a pitfall, it's that he doesn't able to master the technical side of things, right? And that would be the biggest thing for me. The other side is, if you are intent on him playing both sides of the ball, you have to be worried about the durability stuff. Like, we saw him get banged up a little bit, like nothing severe the last 2 years, but he has missed a little bit of time at spots because of just the toll that it takes on your body. I mean, playing over 100-plus snaps a game is just not something that anybody has ever done. So I think the two biggest drawbacks is, one at wide receiver, the nuance, learning the position, being able to be a technically refined football player. But on the other side, if you are intent on playing both sides of the ball, I do think having your body take that type of toll and damage consistently, it's a little bit troubling as far as just trying to project durability on the next level.
Ryan, should you tell our listeners to stay up late tonight? Do you feel like a trade back into the first round for a quarterback is in play for the Browns? Or after two, can we just kind of call it an evening?
Oh, man, it's so tough. I do think that if, let's say, Shedeur Sanders is falling a little bit, maybe he's not the guy at the back end of the first round, but like a Jackson Dart is there still and a team wants to do it. I mean, there's a couple teams that make some sense. Like, you mentioned the Browns, obviously. The Giants are another team that could be in that type of conversation. So I think there's a possibility that something happens. I'm not sure that it'll be Cleveland necessarily, but it wouldn't be shocking to me if it was Cleveland, the Giants, or another team that still has that need. You know, maybe it's I don't know if Las Vegas Raiders would make a ton of sense with the money that they're paying into Geno, but like I would not be totally shocked if someone traded back in, but I'm not sure if it's going to be Cleveland.
Ryan Roberts, A to Z Sports on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, breaking down all the happenings with the draft as that gets underway later tonight. What will the Browns do with the number 2 pick? My partner here is a member. He's a supporter, meaning he supports Shedeur Sanders.
Stumble over his words there, Ryan. It's a shah in front of it.
Yeah, it's a supporter.
Yeah.
And so we got a burger bet on tonight. I don't think he's going in the top 8. I feel confident in this. JP has clung to the side of this like it's a piece of luggage with Kate Winslet on it in the movie Titanic. I'll ask you, what are your expectations for Shedeur Sanders tonight?
I think he's going to fall out of the top 10. This was not something I believed a few weeks ago. I thought that there might be a trade into the top 10, potentially for him, or a New Orleans Saints trades up a couple spots to make sure they get him. But the more I'm hearing and the more just kind of information I'm gathering, I think he's going to fall somewhere at least into the teens, potentially. And from there, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21 want to trade up to make sure they get their guy. Does someone want to jump in front of the Pittsburgh Steelers to make sure that they get their guy? I am on the side, though, that I think Shedeur is going to fall out of the top 10, and I think at least into the teens somewhere.
What would your reaction be if the Browns ended up having Shedeur Sanders in addition to Travis Hunter? Would it be that they just stole the first round of the draft and getting a lot of value, or is it more of like a shrug emoji?
I would like it. I would like it personally. I think, obviously, with where Cleveland is from a quarterback perspective with Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, like, you're not really excited about what the future long-term outlook is, right? And I think Shador automatically improves that outlook. And having potentially the best player in the draft, you know, whether you think he's number one or number two, Travis Hunter is one of the elite players in this class. So I think if you get your quarterback of the future and you get an elite football player in the first round, I think that's really all you can ask for, right? And funny enough is I think it was Eric Edholm at NFL.com that actually had that same exact situation happen in a mock draft. He had Cleveland, I think, trading up with Atlanta at like 15 or something like that to back into the first round to make sure that they got Shador.
Theo Gates had it today too,
right? Guys have... Oh, did he? Okay. So yeah, I mean, so it's been out there obviously, and I think that obviously they have a great connection, right? And if you're getting an elite football player and you're getting your future quarterback in the first round, I think if Cleveland fan, you have to feel happy about those prospects.
Ryan, we are in Ohio State country here. I have a personal favorite Buckeye in this draft. But in terms of the Buckeye prospect, which ones do you kind of like the most going into this draft?
Yeah, I mean, two of them, if I can plug it real quick. So I love Tyleek Williams, a defensive tackle. That's one of like my guys in this class. 329 pounds. I feel like he's the most underrated defensive tackle in this class. Like, best run defender, in my opinion. I mean, you just can't outroof the dude in the run game. He's got some pass rush upside, but, like, that dude is coming in to do the dirty work, you know, to play one, play nose, to just not be moved at the point of attack. That's Tyleek's game, and I think he is such a high-floor player. And I still love Josh Simmons. I know some people are kind of going the other way on Josh Simmons, but I think he's the best pure left tackle in this class, man. He's got length. He's got athleticism. Before he got hurt against Oregon, he was playing so well. And I know that he's got the patella injury, the long-term outlook. There's been some whispers of, like, character stuff. I don't really know too much about the character stuff, to be honest. He's not one guy that's been talking to me directly as far as, like, having character concerns. It's just been kind of out there in the universe. But he is, I think, the best blindside protector in this class, if healthy. And one of the few guys in this class that I'm willing to look at and be like, that guy is a left tackle. I don't have to think about moving him, potentially.
Emeka Abuka has really, like, climbed up the draft boards. It's been, like, about a week or so of him just climbing and climbing and climbing. Now, some people are saying 20th to the Broncos today. Does that feel like too much of a reach for Abuka?
No, I don't think so. I especially in this wide receiver class, like it's not a horrible class, but it's not what it's been the last couple of years. It's just like a solid wide receiver class. But Emeka is one of the high floor receivers in this class. You know, I mean, he's a 4-year player at Ohio State. If he didn't get hurt in 2023, he probably would have been in the 2024 NFL draft. But he's had, you know, he's multiple 1,000-yard seasons. He's a really good wide receiver with a high floor. He could play in the slot. I think he can play a little bit out wide at Z as well. I just think that he's going to be at least a high-end number two in an offense. And I think the Denver Broncos is interesting with, like, Cortland Sutton. I've heard Los Angeles Chargers as a potential spot at pick 22 to pair with Ladd McConkey and those guys. So I think right there in, like, that late teens to 25-ish range, somewhere in that ballpark, I expect Egbuka to come off the board, and I think that he's just one of the safer prospects in this class.
Ryan, I don't know why the draft has done Luther Burden dirty, the wide receiver out of Missouri. If the Browns did end up trading down out of the Travis Hunter pick and went elsewhere, which I would assume they would do if they traded out of that spot, so they didn't go wide receiver there, I would be incredibly comfortable with him as a pick at 33. Can walk me through how, I mean, I felt like there were points this year where we thought he was going to be a top 15, at least top 20 pick.
Yeah, every year there's a couple guys that I would say are like the most overthought prospects in this class. And for me this year, Luther Burden is one of those guys. I mean, I understand that some people have concerns as far as like him being like a slot-only guy or whatever. But like, I think he could play some Z because I think he has more than enough explosiveness and route running upside to be able to do it. I mean, the kid is built for the modern game, though. I mean, he's great after the catch. He's really deceptive. He's a pretty smart receiver as well. Runs really good routes for the most part. I think attention to detail is something that he needs to consistently get better at. But, like, he's got the route-running chops and the ability after the catch that is really dynamic. So I would be comfortable personally taking him in the first round. He is actually my wide receiver one in this draft. I love Luther Burden. I really do as far as, like, true wide receivers in this class. But I just think that some people have overthought him a little bit. And another guy, whispers of just, I don't want to say character concerns. I would say more of, like, maturity concerns, you know, as far as, like, something that he could potentially grow out of. But there are kind of those whispers out there. But if he was the pick in the early second round and pair him with whoever the Browns wanted to do in a trade-back situation, I think that that's a steal in this class. Like, in this class, he should be a first-round pick. If he ends up being somewhere in the early second, whether it's with the Browns or the Tennessee Titans at 35 or whatever, I think that he would be a tremendous value at that spot without question.
Ryan, I'm out here eating wings at a bar, which is a little occupational hazard because we got a video component to this bad boy, and I'm a large person as well, and I thought, all right, flats were the safe choice. Turns out it was all in my beard. So this now turns into a preference question. Do you prefer flats or drumsticks when it comes to bone-in wings?
Depends who I'm with, to be honest. This is not a cop-out answer, I promise. If I'm on a date, I'd rather do drums. If I'm just trying to enjoy great wings, then I'll do the flats, because obviously you need to get in there a little bit, right? Like, it's a little bit more labor-intensive.
Chicken wings on a date really is a wild move anyway, with. Ryan. No, you can't do chicken wings on a date.
Well, funny enough, my wife said that she knew I was the one because the last date she'd been on there, some guy, I guess, they went to, like, TGI Fridays or something, and they got riblets, and they just watched this guy, like, just suck juice off his fingers and stuff, right? So I agree with you. That is definitely not the classiest move of all time, but if I'm trying to keep it casual but also want to enjoy some good wings, you got to do drums if you're on a date, for sure.
I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm looking for love, all right? If I was a single man, thank God I'm not, for the women of Northeast Ohio that had enough the first 20 years of my life. But if I'm out here, I'm looking for acceptance. All right, maybe that's a moment you got to let your freak flag fly a little bit.
Ryan, you want to know how it was like a tip of the hand that I was not going to have a date two with the woman? Like, when she showed up and I was like, oh, this isn't going to work.
Oh, I thought it was if she didn't show up.
No. It's if I ordered the wings.
Dead giveaway.
That's a giveaway. But if I ordered the wings, it was like she had to know it was never going to happen. We were done.
that's fair. I actually kind of want to... I wonder if some teams for some of these prospects have asked if you're a drummer, if you're a wing guy, right? To kind of figure out what kind of makes them tick. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely several no-nos, and that's super funny. I'm literally like recounting in my mind my conversation with my wife on one of our first dates where she was talking about the Riblets guy, and that's all. I don't even know the guy's name. His name is the Riblets guy in this story.
That is not great branding. Oh, honey, you remember the Riblets guy.
I like that's... Ryan being like quesadilla guy to her for the first like 3 months.
Yeah.
Whatever food you ordered, it's just
whatever you are. Is this you don't fart in front of each other until like you married? Like, is that kind of what we're going for here?
You got to elevate to the chicken wings, for sure.
Ryan, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
We're wolfing these wings down. I mean, this is just this side of carnal. Like, that's what people are seeing right now if you're walking by. Don't be intimidated. I'm just really into these wings. But we're talking about them, and... Jake let it slip. Now, Jake has been on the record, doesn't like barbecue sauce. And Jake let it slip to Mac, if there are sauce on the wings, he won't do it.
Yeah.
Jake, do you just raw dog chicken wings?
I'm not really a wing guy in general, but it's because I don't like barbecue sauce. And I said it to Mac during the break. I feel like all other sauces are barbecue sauce adjacent.
There's literally one called mustard.
Yeah,
not a big mustard guy either. There, yeah.
Are you just a not condiment guy? Is that what's going on here?
I mean, I like ketchup.
Anti-condiment,
but outside of that, not really.
Yeah, I always say wings. I always practice safe wings. I'd be very careful there, Jake. So run it back for me. Do you just not do wings, or do you raw dog the wings?
No, I'm just not a wing guy. Like maybe boneless because those are kind of chicken fingers, and I'll do chicken fingers, but not a wing guy.
How do you know?
Hmm.
I mean, I thought he didn't want to fly, and then I got in a plane, and I was like, yeah, not so bad. Right?
Wait, is he saying, he's not saying he's never had a wing. Is he saying he's never had a wing?
No, I've had wings before.
He's had wings. He just knows. He knows he doesn't like.
When was the last time you had a wing?
Doesn't like barbecue sauce.
You did this when I said I didn't like bacon too, Nick. It's probably been, I don't know, a couple years.
Well, way to call me out of my bully tactics.
I do like the idea that you need to check in every couple years to make sure you still don't like something.
Yeah, for instance, I hated fish growing up because my grandmother would fish bluegill and bass out of a pond that was not the cleanest pond in the world.
Yeah,
and then somebody was like, "Why don't you try Ruffy?" I was like, well, it's been 5 years. I guess I'll try fish. And now you can't stop my fat ass from eating it.
You're having a fish fry tonight. Yeah, your taste buds do change. Growing up, I didn't like tomatoes. I didn't like milk either was another thing. I just didn't like milk. It was odd.
I kind of get milk, yeah.
I didn't like it. Now yeah. I like it.
All right. Look at that. I'm
like
proud
it changes,
of you.
Jake. Yeah. So we need to get over here and have some wings is the point. So you can confirm that you don't like them once again.
Why did Jake quit the show? They forced him to eat wings.
Wouldn't that be a great HR meeting? It's like, so what happened? It's like, well, he told us he didn't like wings, but we didn't believe him.
Yeah, we thought maybe he just hadn't tried them in a while, and then there was a weapon brandished, and there were some threats. But I didn't mean that I was going to rip his arms and legs off. That was a joke.
Imagine God cursing your taste buds as badly as he has Jake Murrin's.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to make a kid who works his butt off. He's going to meet the love of his life when he's 16 years old.
Going to take a trip to Paris.
He's going to take a trip to Paris.
One
of the nicest human beings in the world. Now, here's the downside. You're going to hate peanut butter and chocolate together. You're not going to like bacon. You're not really going to like steak. And you're going to hate barbecue sauce so much that my greatest creations on earth, which are our barbecue wings, you're not going to like them.
Doesn't even sound like living. Doesn't even sound like I want to live at that point.
No.
I've said it before, Nick. I wish I wasn't this way.
You know what? With time and conditioning, I think we can fix you. Now, we just had Ryan Roberts on. Great stuff there. And he spoke to the Shadream for Jonathan Peterlin.
You keep calling it the Shadream for me. I never said that was my dream, by the way.
You're telling me Travis Hunter and Shador in Cleveland together isn't the Shadream?
Not the Shadream. I'd be happy with it because I want Shador.
Adjacent?
No, but listen, there is a part of this that would agitate me.
Why is that?
You know this. I laid it out at one point. The part of it that would agitate me is the idea that they didn't love Shador enough to take him at number two, and then they would go ahead and try to tell me that they love him enough to take him at, I don't know, 15, 17,
so you're
19, 21.
So you're offended on behalf of Shador?
Not on behalf of Shador. This is on behalf of myself.
Okay.
Okay, right. This is on behalf. Why don't you love him as much as I love him is the real question that I need the answer to.
This is a slight.
How are you willing to roll the dice in such a magnificent and in such an interesting way to then potentially have him at 17, 19, 21, or whatever that might be?
All right, so this is not a flip-flop. So I'm not going to accuse you of that.
It's definitely not.
It is a slight pivot.
Not at all.
Oh, you've said
what it, part of it is a pivot?
A fair amount of the times you've said, I'll just be happy if Shador's in Cleveland no matter how
and
they
I'll
get
still
him.
Be happy, but I'm not calling it the dream. A dream is magical. It is everything
you overdraft
I want it to
him
be,
at two?
And then some. The dream is they see what I see with him, and they take him, and they love him. This,
so this
right
just
now,
boils down to you want to be right?
No. This boils down to what I think makes the most sense. Take him at two because you love him. Don't gamble on the idea. How do you love somebody that much and then say, oh, I'll gamble with the rest of the NFL and let him potentially go 20 picks? No. That would be Shador falling into their lap. That's not them loving Shador.
Who
That's falling into their
ass
lap.
If he ends up in Cleveland? I mean, we got Randy on Facebook.
I'll be happy. Randy's out of his mind. Randy, you heard it here first. You are out of your mind. You make up things daily. All you do is talk crap. You're a keyboard warrior, and I think you stink. The point being, when it comes to Shador...
You think he stinks?
I think Randy stinks. I think Shador is great. The point is that I just... It's a gamble that I feel like would speak to something that it would just bother me to the high heavens. Like, so like the Steelers, for instance, if Shador goes to 21, I'll have no idea whether or not Shador and Mike Tomlin... Or Mike Tomlin and the Steelers have just always loved Shador, and it just was what it was. But I'll know with certainty... that Shador was not the belle of the ball to the Browns. Because of Travis Hunter, I'll know with certainty that they don't feel that way.
Do you think Ravens fans give a rip that Lamar went 32nd, and that was, what, 8 picks after Mark Andrews?
We're talking in the moment here, first off, by the way. Do I care 3 years from now if Shador Sanders is awesome and he's great with Travis Hunter? Not at all. Why care even 6 months from now? Probably not. But in the moment, it's not a dream. It'd be very nice. I'd like to see it happen. But the idea that this is like the greatest scenario ever. No, the greatest scenario ever is if you flip-flop this. If, let's say, 2 months ago, Shador Sanders just got in the driver's seat to be number two, and then Travis Hunter had some sort of free fall, or the Browns traded up into the top 10 to get Travis Hunter, and then you paired them together, that's the Shadream. But this speaks differently.
I think you might be shivorcing it.
What are you shivorcing it?
I tried it.
I might have also been shivorcing it.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. But no, there's a clear distinction here.
216-474-0092.
But it's why I don't think it's going to actually happen. It's why I'll be surprised if it does. I think you'll be surprised if it does too.
I think you're protecting your hopes and dreams, and I get it. Right? You were the first person at this station to live a Shadream, a Shador Sanders to Cleveland, and unlike other people on this station who waffled and flip-flopped, and then be like, of course we waffled and flip-flopped. It's the draft. Why wouldn't we do that? Well, where they're also the show that always calls everybody else out for flip-flopping whenever it doesn't involve them. I'm just saying, hypothetically, that could have happened on the station, not definitively happened. Certainly not from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. But, because never. But, yeah. I feel like at this point you've been on this train for so long that it would be such a shwin. How could you not shwant it?
It's not that I don't shwant it. I want it. It's just not my. It's not my scenario of a dream because I just would. First off, it doesn't make sense from the Browns' perspective because it's not how the Browns operate. I can't see them operating that way. There's a lot that would bother me about the idea that they would roll the dice in such a large way to try to get him at 20 or 25 or 15, and they didn't love enough at 2.
Joe's description of Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter is a little tongue-in-cheek, and I think people have taken it way literally, but we'll get to that in a second. It is draft week. The rumors going crazy. We got one for you in just a second here. But as the rumors swirl where the Browns are going the draft and the Cavs run and the NBA playoffs is underway, don't miss a minute of the Fan with the latest breaking news during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 923thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app. I want to react to what Joe had to say there in just a minute, but Diana Rossini, I'm just going to tell you, I like Diana more than I like most of the reporters in the NFL because, one, she hustles. Two, she has to carry Chase Daniel every single chance she gets. What are we doing, Diana? And she also just reports a lot of interesting ancillary stuff. Well, she just tweeted out within the last 30 minutes, hours away from the start of the first round, Browns GM Andrew Berry has been actively listening to offers for the number 2 overall pick. Many believe he's willing to move a few spots back. Cleveland has holes to fill and have just 4 top 100 picks to address them. Team trade down, I still don't think it's going to happen. I think the Browns have done a really good job of trying to massage a market that may or may not be there. But if they do, and they say take Mason Graham or Will Campbell or Armon Membo, I would be quite happy.
I think this is the type of thing, though, that would go right in line to kind of what we think has been going on with Andrew Berry, right? Like the idea that it just so happens to throw a bunch of names out there for a month on end and then finally gets one to stick with Travis Hunter and you get enough commotion and enough surrounding him. And, yeah, I could see them making this. I could see them doing this. I think it would be very, very upsetting to a lot of the fans, though.
I don't think it should be. Like,
Fans have locked in. They've locked in on Travis
and
Hunter.
And I get that. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't love how a lot of people have framed Travis as a can't-miss prospect. The fact that he is a work in progress as a wide receiver could mean that he is a 2-year project to get where he needs to be. And I thought Ryan said it perfectly. Ryan Roberts, who was with us earlier this hour, he said, you know, he tries to win a lot on athleticism and speed. And... I, that that's not how it works in the NFL. You need to know the nuance of the position. I'm not saying he can't get there, but it's not a guaranteed he'll get there. And so that's to say, guys, there's risk with everything that they're going to do here.
For sure.
And I, to me, winning a trade down means you get a future first. If they also happen to pick up a 2 pick today, yeah, I'll be happy. But that to me. Now, if you move down 3 spots for a second or third rounder, that's fine. I just don't think it hits as hard as if you can protect yourself against the downside of a quarterback room that I don't know is going to go where everybody wants it to.
I think in the moment it'll feel like a shock for a lot of people, though. I think they woke up thinking it's Travis Hunter Day. I'm with you in that if this is not where they go and they're just punting on this upcoming season and they're really putting all their eggs into next year's draft basket, well, okay, you got to really make sure that next year is awesome then.
Yeah, you can't go full Miami. And I think this is where I hate the word tanking because it means something different. Tanking in the NBA is a 5-year suck-a-thon where, quite frankly, you try and win as few games as possible for a time period that is dispiriting. And by the way, a fair amount of teams never pull it off. Miami Dolphins, Cleveland Browns are 2 teams that tanked for 3 years. I have no interest in that. This is a recalibration. This would be we still like our team, but we're going to let this season play out. We're going to see maybe who are the winners and who are the guys we are going to go forward with, and then next offseason chase that next quarterback. I don't think this would be tanking, even if trading down for some symbolizes, and I think correctly so, them punting on 2025.
It is putting a lot of faith, if you're Andrew Berry, in the belief that they have a lot of years to figure this out. But it does go right along with that, basically that line that they kept telling us, which is that they don't have to force it. And I think a lot of people read that in as being Shedeur Sanders. But in hindsight, if they make a trade here, that could also lead to whether that is Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, whoever you thought they would have taken it to.
I think Cam Ward at 1 is forcing it. I think Shedeur Sanders with a top 10 pick is forcing it.
I think you said that about Cam Ward because I have not heard many people make that suggestion. And it's where you felt the entire time. We just haven't gone back to that road in a little bit.
And listen, I would understand if he fell to 2.
Have you heard the Mahomes comps that keep getting thrown around him over the past couple days?
I can't live in that
world. As someone that likes Cam Ward, I can tell you right now they've gotten out of hand.
Yeah, and listen, that's what you do. They're trying to sell season tickets in Tennessee. God bless him. And the NFL wants to sell intrigue. God bless him. I think he's a fine quarterback prospect. I just think, I don't know definitively he can be a franchise quarterback. And so, and that's the guy I feel best about in this darn draft. But I said, if he falls to 2, I'm like 40% sure you should take him.
Now, how do you feel about the idea, though, that if they trade down and then they take, let's say, Mason Graham, you have the exact same ideology of a front office that you have called for their heads to be fired. That was the wrong way to put that. Heads to be rolled, excuse me, for them to be fired and for them to be dismissed and their jobs being removed.
I mean, it'd be the first time we agreed on something in about 2 years.
Because you guys
would
not just agree on anything. You guys would be directly aligned with your thought processes. And
I'd be fine. I mean, listen, these guys aren't dum-dums. They've made a lot of bad decisions, and I think some of that has been throwing good money after bad, just trying to chase and make this Deshaun thing work. I think in the end, the definitive failure of Deshaun with the latest injury has set them free. It should. Like, you're no longer beholden to a guy that doesn't have – who lost his heart to be a great football player, who can't stay healthy, who's been a nightmare. Like, view it as that. And that's – to me, again, like, I would – listen, it takes cojones to come out here when everybody wants them to take Travis Hunter. If they trade down and they take Mason Graham, yeah, people are going to be upset. Like, yeah. So it takes guts to do that.
Well, and it obviously also would sting if, you know, you got to be comfortable with the idea that Travis Hunter, if he ends up becoming Calvin Johnson, who was a top 3 pick, Larry Fitzgerald, who was a top 3 pick, if he becomes one of those guys, that is it's a little bit of a stain on your GM record, but at this point, Andrew Berry can't care about that.
So the problem,
I do think some GMs do.
The problem with the Julio Jones trade wasn't that they passed on taking Julio Jones, who became a borderline Hall of Fame wide receiver. It's that they used the picks that they got him on guys like Owen Marisek and Brandon Whedon. Like, that's where the flaw in the logic was, is they just didn't, like, I get the idea that trading down is a significant risk. There's absolutely no debating that it's a significant risk. But teams have made it work out before. Like, And even like even I'll even push back on the idea of, well, Andrew Berry can't draft. He hasn't drafted well enough. That's not the same thing as he can't draft. And this is his best chance to prove since I really year one that we got it all wrong and he actually can.
Yeah, but in not taking Travis Hunter, he is taking away the easiest layup I think the draft has ever really offered him in the time he's been with the Browns.
I mean, Mason Graham's still a top five pick. If Mason Graham goes out there and is who I think anybody that watched Michigan the last 2 years play with him, I think people are going to be – because that's another premier position.
If that's who it ends up being. Like, I'm assuming in the scenario you're saying they're trading with Jacksonville, let's say.
Yeah.
So you could trade within the realm of still getting Mason Graham.
Can I just throw in Will Campbell there as well?
Sure.
I mean, I like the idea of playing DeJuan at left tackle. It's not stopping me from taking Will Campbell. If you trade down to 4, 5, 6, or 7, and that kid falls to you. Like, that kid is a, you know, we talked about culture changers. That kid is an ass kicker and a name taker. And quite frankly, they need more guys like that. And I think he is the antithesis of Jed Wills. You'll never question that kid's heart. And I'm all on board with what Joe Thomas has said about arm length. That was the knock on Joe. I think his arms did pretty well.
You'd have an opportunity, because the way I see this right now, the teams that would be talking to the Browns, according to this report, and again, we got to guess, but I would think the Patriots would be involved because of Drake May. I would think Jacksonville would be involved because of Trevor Lawrence. That's 4 and 5 right there. You get Mason Graham if you want him.
I'm content with anything. I like Tyler Warren. I don't think you necessarily need to go a tight end with a top 10 pick, but it's so funny. Like, if you take Travis Hunter or if you take Abdul Carter, I'll be happy. And I can't conceive of a trade down pick that would truly upset me. I wouldn't love a corner. Like, if they traded down to Will Johnson, I would not be thrilled with that. But if that's as bad as it gets, I'm just not thrilled with it. I don't think you need to take a corner in this draft.
Is there anything in this draft that would upset you with what they do with the number two pick?
Taking Genty, which is not going to happen.
Yeah, no, realistically, based off of what we played today.
Of the three things that I've said, no, none of those will upset me. If you trade down to 20, you trade down to 20. It is what it is. You're going to find a good football player there, by the way. They might not find a franchise cornerstone. There's a lot of really damn good football. That's everybody's wrong. That's where people are most wrong about this. From 10 to 50, you're going to find a lot of really good starting players, guys with significant upside that could be stars. They just might not be apparent stars now. And so, I mean, I really think this is a good draft. It's just not a good quarterback draft. I think the quarterback thing is much more gasoline. And I'm the flame. I think it's much more gasoline for me than anything that they're going to do it to, unless it's Shador at 2, at which point I will. And maybe that's the one thing they could do. If they took Shador at 2, I probably would be pretty annoyed.
I don't think you – okay, you would be. I think you would be.
For the opposite reason of you earlier.
I told you. You're not
taking
you're
a second-round pick with a number 2 pick is just stupid.
Taking a what, excuse me?
Second-round pick. I think that's what Shador is. Physically, he is a second-round pick.
Okay.
Oh, I don't like that. Okay.
Why? You knew you knew when you said it was going to make me.
No, I didn't say it to upset you.
Disagree.
I think he's a second round pick.
Okay.
I think that's where his talent is.
We'll find out tonight, won't we? We'll find out what the NFL thinks.
Just because he's a first round pick doesn't mean he's not a second round pick.
Okay.
I just feel now I'm talking in coded language.
Yeah. Now, don't worry. We can do a my favorite sports radio bit, which is let's see this play out. 10 years from now, we can figure this out.
Yeah, you know, game 101-62.
That's right.
216-474-0092. Is that a real thing? Oh. Is that a callback? What is this?
Are you getting scooped by Ian Rappaport again?
I can't. Mac, will you speak here? You're confusing the hell out of me. What's going on?
Fake Ian Rappaport's out there, left and right.
You're wrinkling my brain here.
Yeah. No. So Rappaport just putting out that the Texans have sent the Browns pick 166 and a 2027 fifth rounder for pick 179, 216, and 255. So two of the four sixth rounders and the seventh rounder.
What was that?
And they get a fifth rounder back.
I thought 255 was the key to this draft.
They get a fifth rounder back, so they have a fifth rounder now.
I like Diana.
I've been waiting for that too.
Diana's like, yeah, they're talking about number 2 overall, and really he's just working on a Houston swap of a bunch of late round
picks.
Listen,
they didn't have a fifth rounder next year, and Andrew Berry was not going into this draft without a 2026 fifth round pick. I've been saying that for weeks.
2027.
2027?
Yes.
I love the idea of Houston.
What is the point of that?
2 years
Houston
out.
Houston calling up, being like, so what does it take to get to number two? And Andrew Berry being like, let's talk fifth rounders in 2027. Let's do that instead.
Now all I want is that the Browns keep two but trade every other pick in some sort of trade. All right, 33 for 39 and a 2029 fifth rounder. Who says no?